Amen. Our Father, we do thank you for the Bible study tonight. Thank you for your love that has revealed yourself, your mind, your word, your will unto us. Thank you for this Bible, the word of God, that stands forever. And Lord, we pray that all the precepts and all the promises will be practical in every life in Jesus' name. As we reveal your might to us tonight, we pray you help us to solidly plant our feet on this solid rock that will never move in Jesus' name. I will pray that the word will lead us closer to the Lord and closer to all the privileges and promises you have for us in Jesus' name. Establish your word in every heart and establish every one of us in your word too. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Bible study tonight. We're looking at Titus chapter 2. We've been studying from Titus chapter 1. And we've covered verses 1 to 16 already in chapter 1. But now we come to the beginning of chapter 2. And it reads in verse 1, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." You understand that normally we do not start a sentence with the word "but." When you say "but," it means you said some other things earlier. And now you are saying, "Because I said this, and things have been going this direction, I don't want you to turn to another direction." That's why you say "but." What has he been talking about? He's been talking about the people who are not preaching the sound word of God, the infallible word of God, the inerrant word of God, without error, without flaw, and without any mistake. They have been perpetrating the opinions of men, the ideas of men. And these people, their lives did not even match what they were professing. That's why it now says, Titus, you have a responsibility and you have a duty. That's why it says, "But you speak according to the word that is sound, according to the word that is infallible." Come back to chapter 1. As we look at chapter 1, he's speaking about God. The God that cannot lie. It's impossible for him to lie. The God that promised us eternal life. And we find that eternal life in the word of the Lord. He's giving us hope, a lively hope, a profitable hope. A hope that makes us alive and keeps us alive. And we're quickened by this hope, by this word. And it says the Lord Jesus Christ has brought that hope to reality. Because it's become the God, our Savior. Then he said, "Titus, I left you there in Crete, a province of that community that had more than 100 cities. And he says, you'll be the bishop there, you are the overseer there, you are the pastor there. And as you are pastoring there, you look at everything that is happening and do not allow anything to escape your notice. Because there are a lot of things over there in Crete, in all those churches, that are not according to the truth, according to the gospel, according to our salvation, and according to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Therefore, you will search in order the things that are lacking there, the things that are inappropriate there, the things that are not according to sound word, sound doctrine there. I left you there in Crete, that you will search everything," not some things, "everything, set them in order. And then you'll appoint people that will be in charge of those churches in all those cities. And the qualifications are outlined here. They must be people, briefly, who are saved. Because those who are not saved cannot lead the unsaved to salvation. If you're going to lead other people, there must be that evidence of salvation, experience of salvation, and the power of salvation working in your life. That you have been cleansed from the pollution of sin. And you have been set free from the power of sin. and you know that your life at present reflects the salvation that Jesus Christ provided on the cross of Calvary. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And then there must be people who are blameless. What does that mean? They're sanctified. They're not just saying at the edge, at the perimeter, the periphery of the Christian life. They are saved, they are sanctified, and their lives are blameless. They are honest, they are holy, they are just, they are temperate, and they are people that are saturated with the word of God, holding fast the faithful word, as he has been taught, not like people that have never been taught the word of God, that will just be revealing the opinions of men. And then he said, Titus, you know what I'm telling you, that there is a positive aspect of the ministry. There is the negative aspect of the ministry. Why? In chapter 1, verse 10, because there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, false prophets, false teachers, teaching the traditions of men, and they do not reflect the life of a saved soul. They do not reflect the life of a sanctified believer. They do not reflect the life of a person saturated with scripture. They have no scripture in their messages. In fact, they subvert houses. They subvert families. They turn families and houses and believers upside down. They muddle up the river of life, and they confuse the people they are speaking to. Their mouths must be stopped. There are people that are so deep entrenched in their evil, in their falsehood, that they will refuse and reject and rebel against your setting things in order. But Titus, you will do this and stop their mouth. And then it says, because you know, they are liars, they're deceivers, they have slow bellies. Everything they do for money, or they do for position, or they do for a reward. You must stop them. In fact, some of their prophets or poets said, all those Grecians, they are liars, and they have slow bellies, and they care only for the things of the flesh. But I trust, you know, unto the pure, all things are pure. The word of God is pure, without any error. But to those who are unbelieving, they are defiled. Even their very conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but they deny him completely in their lives. They are abominable. They are defiled. They are reprobates. They are rejected. It's at the background of that that it says, because of that, but you must be different. Look at what it says. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. The things which become, what does that mean? Does that mean the things which are transformed, translated into sound doctrine? No, it means the things which defeat sound doctrine. The things which support sound doctrine. The things which propagate sound doctrine, or the things that establish sound doctrine. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That word speak actually means declare. It means proclaim. It means preach sound doctrine. Preach God's inspired word. Can we do less than that? Can we do any other thing? If your goal is to get souls saved, if your goal is to establish believers, if your goal is to make the church strong, there's nothing else you can do. You preach the word, speak thou the things that support, befeed, help, hold up sound doctrine. It means then to evangelize and to have evangelistic impact, you must preach the word. To raise a spiritually healthy church, a spiritually strong church, we must preach the word. To restrain the false prophets and limit their influence to the barest minimum, we must preach the word. The people that they just talk, they just preach. They don't have any backbone. They are anemic. They don't have any strength. They don't have any power. No authority in what they say. They avoid those false prophets, and the false prophets are bold. They're rebellious. The false prophets, they serve the devil zealously with all their strength. And if you are a minister, you don't preach the word, proclaim the word, emphasize the word, establish the word, you're not going to be a match to those false prophets. So, to restrain them, to stop them, and to stop their mouth, you must preach the word. And to fulfill God's purpose in ministry, we must preach the word. To establish the new converts, and to strengthen the believers so that there are no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, we must preach the word. How about training the people that will carry on the work? To train the workers, to equip the workers, and to raise a new generation of leaders, we must preach the word. To make the church steadfast in turbulent times. There are turbulent times. Times of persecution. Times of difficulty. Times of challenge. That the people will not know where to turn. To the right or to the left. That's why the leader, the pastor, the preacher, the teacher of the word must preach the word. Must speak. The things will become sound doctrine. To encourage and help persecuted souls to have staying power, we must preach the word. And to prepare God's people for the coming of Christ, we must preach the word. Both in public declaration and in private conversation, we must speak only the things that become sound doctrine. Preach only the things that befit sound doctrine. Proclaim only the things that propagate sound doctrine. And you emphasize the things that establish sound doctrine. The word speak is in the present imperative. When you say imperative, that means a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not an idea. It's not an opinion. It's not an advice. But speak thou. The things would become sound doctrine. Titus, that's a command, imperative. And it's in the continuous tense. That is, it's an imperative that continues. You stand up on Sunday, this Sunday, the command is still as fresh as it was the other week. And you stand up this other Monday, the command today is still as fresh and as powerful, as necessary as it was the other Monday. And you stand up at the times of difficulty, at the times when you might be having personal challenge, a family challenge, a church challenge, at that time when you have difficulties, that command is still as fresh, as real, as necessary as it was in times that are good. That's why it says you speak that word. Present imperative, conveying the idea of continuity and persistence. It is a command, not that Titus will not be intimidated by anyone's attitude, anyone's rejection, anyone's reaction. Titus, what does that mean? Let's say, for example, Titus, you have 100 members in a congregation, and then you speak the word, preach the word, proclaim the word, declare the word, establish the word. The word that takes us to heaven, that prepares us for the coming of Christ. And among those 100 people, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that boldly resist the word. That verbally, outwardly, seriously, and in a violent way, they react against the word. Titus, what are you going to do? Intimidated? Fearful, cringing, trembling. Hey, Titus, you do not surpedal because there are 5 people. Speak to the 95 people remaining. Do not allow the rejection and the rebellion of 5 people who are determined to go to hell. Do not allow the reaction of those 5 people hinder the 95 remaining people that say, speak, want to hear, want to learn, want to get to heaven. You'll not allow those bad eggs to destroy the chance of the majority of the people that want to get to heaven. So Titus, you must not be intimidated by the number and the fanatical zeal of those people that are false prophets in the land. Titus, you must boldly declare God's saving truth. And you must be as aggressive in preaching the truth as those false prophets and false preachers are aggressive in preaching their error. Despite the multiplicity of those churches devoted to error, and despite all the people devoted to falsehood, affirm and preach the word that has power to transform lives. Be not afraid, speak. Do not compromise, speak. Neither give up nor give in, speak. Be bold in the evil day, speak. For the sake of souls that should not perish, speak. To rescue the perishing, speak. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. We're going to look at the study tonight under three perspectives. Number one is a command. Number two is a courage. Number three is a consequence. Number one, the courage to speak God's inspired word. The command to speak God's inspired word. Number two is the courage to speak God's infallible word. Number three, the consequence of speaking God's irresistible word. Number one, the command to speak God's inspired word. Come back to this chapter 2 verse 1 again. Titus chapter 2. And we're looking at verse 1. You see the command, the imperative. And this is the word of authority coming from God through the Spirit unto Paul the apostle, and then given and delivered unto Titus. But speak thou, command, speak thou the things would become sound doctrine. Titus was not only commissioned, but he was commanded to speak, commanded to preach. Of course, Titus is not here now. The word is now for you. You'll take the baton, you'll do it. Am I talking to somebody there? I said you will do it in Jesus' name. The Lord is commanding you. You have a congregation, maybe in your home, a congregation of a few people, your own wife, your own children, speak. Maybe you are a sister, you are a mother, and you have those children, and they are getting to heaven, depends on the word you pass across to them. My sister, speak. It's a command. It's giving it to you. Maybe in your place of work, you're a leader over there. You have some people that listen to you. Speak. Or maybe you are going on the, you're going on a journey, and those people traveling with you, they are there. There's no other way they will hear the word, the gospel, the word of life. Speak. It's a command that is given to everyone. You're not just chatting with the people, talking to the people. They're on their way to hell. And you have the message that will lead them to life eternal. You speak. It's a command that you have to preach. There's no other activity, however important, however significant, that can be acceptable substitute to this one. To study is a necessary discipline. The people that are always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I just want to learn. A perpetual student, a perpetual learner. It's good to learn, but you must put voice to what you are learning. You must preach the word of God as well. Other people, they just want to develop themselves, that might be a worthy goal, but you must still preach to raise a family. I have a family, I have children that are growing up, and I need to pay attention to them. That's all right. To pay attention to those children or members of the family and provide for them. All that must not be neglected, but all the same, speak. To pray and to have a deep private devotional life is desirable, but you must preach. To lead and to organize is indispensable. In a local church, in a big church, in a moderate church, all that organization, administration is okay, but you understand? Administration alone is not enough. Organization alone is not enough. You must speak. Speak the word and preach the word. And then you preach the word to the congregation, and you preach the word to individuals as well. This command is as old as the early days of the Old Testament. The servants and the messengers of God were commanded to speak God's incorruptible word, even when their audience breathed threats and hatred. That did not excuse or release them from the responsibility. The command was not withdrawn. They were still to speak. If you look at Isaiah, it says, cry aloud and speak the word with conviction. Jeremiah 2 was to speak the word without fear, without favor, even when his life was threatened. Ezekiel was to speak boldly, whether the people will hear or forbear. All the prophets of God in the Old Testament were saying to speak, and they were not to fear the faces of the men, of the people. And let us look at the word of God and see what it tells us. I'm reading from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 27. Deuteronomy chapter 5, and we're reading from verse 27. You'll see this command is as old as the Old Testament itself. The word of God, the commandment, the imperative, the continuous imperative or command to speak the word, to preach the word. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 27, it says, go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. That's the children of Israel telling Moses, the man of God, and that said, go and hear what the Lord will say. Receive the word, receive the revelation, and we are willing to obey. Look at verse 31. But as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. Not only that, the children of Israel told Moses, saying, go and hear what the Lord will say, and you come to speak to us, and we are going to obey. Even God himself, he told this man of God, he said, you'll hear everything I have to say, and then you will declare it unto them. In Jeremiah chapter 1, Jeremiah chapter 1, I'm reading here from verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 1, I will read him from verse 7. You'll see again this prophet Jeremiah, what the Lord had told him, and what the Lord is telling you today, whoever you are. You're a believer, you're a child of God, you're a member of the family of God, or you happen to be a pastor, or you happen to be a teacher in the household of faith. Here is the word coming to you directly. Chapter 1, verse 7. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. Say not, I am a child. Jeremiah was trying to give excuse. I'm a child. I'm too young. I'm not experienced. I'm not trained. I'm not knowledgeable. I'm just a child. I do not have the strength of a man, the courage, the boldness of a man. I'm just a child. Isn't that what many people are saying today? I've not gone to college. I've not gone to school. I'm an illiterate. Yes. I don't have experience. Yes. What you know? Are you saved? What you knew that got you saved? Say that out. Speak that out. Are you a child of God? Do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you know that we must repent before we get to the kingdom of God? You know as much? Speak and tell the people what you know. And don't say, I'm just a child. I'm not experienced. I don't have all the time. I have a long way to go. I have a lot of things I don't know. What you know already. What you know already. That God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Speak that out. Tell your neighbor. Tell the people around you. And say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command. You see that? Whatsoever I command. Whatsoever I command, thou shalt speak. As he commanded repentance, speak. There are some people that will say, that's not my constitution. That's not my way of life. I don't like anything that is tough and hard. I don't like to make people uncomfortable. When you talk about repentance, you know, people, they feel guilty. They think about their past. They think about this and they think about that. And that's not my nature. It's not your nature. We're talking about what God has commanded. As he commanded repentance, whatsoever he says unto you, he says, speak that out. Other people say, you know, my problem is I read in the Bible about restitution. And I don't like to get near that area. There's some difficult restitutions. And it will just turn the lives of those people upside down. What if they made restitution and then, you know, something negative happens unto them? You're not to bring your puny brain, your small brain, your coconut brain into the word of God. Speak the word of God and leave the consequence unto God. I can't talk about restitution. Jesus spoke about it. And Jesus emphasized it. And Jesus said, this is my word, declare my word. Who gave you the authority to sit in judgment on the word of God and begin to sift and you take this away and add this one and soften this one and support that one? You have to speak the word that you have given. If we're going to get to heaven, if we're preparing people for heaven, it's the word that will take them to heaven. And so that's why it says, whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces. There are people that they're like jellyfish, like wax that will melt under the shining or the fearful, frightening face of a man, of a woman. They cannot stand, they cannot speak. They forget everything they want to say. What is an intimidating personality before them? But the Lord is saying, Jeremiah, I've called you. Don't say, I cannot, you can. I said you can. Are you there? If you can't, where are you? You will in Jesus' name. We don't bring our nature into the ministry. We don't bring our softness into the ministry. Our weakness into the ministry. We don't pollute the gospel with our soft nature. We keep the word of God as the word of God. You might be soft ordinarily, but when you come to say what the Lord has commanded you to say, you are an herald, you are a servant, you are a slave, you are the mouthpiece of the Lord. It's not your word, it's his word. As he commanded holiness, be ye holy for I am holy, declare it. And don't say, what if, there's no what if. That's what the Lord told Jeremiah. He said, whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. He will touch your mouth. You know, what a pity when people say that, you know, they are serving the Lord, they are preaching the word of the Lord, and you can't find the evidence that God has ever touched their mouth. If their mouths were weak before, their mouths are still weak. If the mouths are trembling, were trembling before, the mouth is still trembling. If there is no coin, there's no strength, there's no backbone before, there's still no backbone, no strength. But when you come to the Lord, if he has appointed you, he touches your mouth, he will touch your mouth. And when the fire from the altar of God touches your mouth, you'll be a different person. Your declaration, your proclamation, your preaching will be totally different. And the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. That word will be in your mouth. But you bring it out. And sinners will be convicted. And sinners will be converted. And believers will be awakened. And they will be sanctified and made holy in Jesus' name. Look at verse 17. Thou therefore gather up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. You know what the Lord is saying here? He's saying, Jeremiah, you are afraid of the people. What if I speak to them and they oppose me, they reject what I say, and they abuse me, they insult me, and I have some kind of a pressure laid on me? Well, you fear the men for what they might do. You know what, Jeremiah? If you do not declare my words, because you are afraid of the people will not lay hands on you, but I will lay hands on you. I will confound you. I will punish you. I'll put greater pressure on you. There'll be a pressure from heaven upon your life. You will not escape. Which one are you going to choose? The punishment or the persecution of the people that can do nothing? Their breath is in their nostrils. Or the punishment that will come from God when he says, I will confound you. For behold, I have made you this day a defense city and an iron pillar. And brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, and against the princes thereof, and against the priests thereof, and against the people, the people of the land. They shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, says the Lord, to deliver thee. Anybody saying amen over there? Why don't I read that for myself? For they shall fight against me, but they shall not prevail against me. All of them, the people and the priests and the false prophets and all those persecutors, they shall not prevail against me. For he is with me, says the Lord, to deliver me. Did you read that for yourself? You will overcome in Jesus' name. We have nothing to fear. The King of Kings has sent us to do something and to say something. Whatever he says, whatever he commands, we're going to speak, and nobody will run us away from this ministry of preaching the truth, the eternal truth that stands forever. We'll do it in Jesus' name. We're looking at Jeremiah chapter 26. Jeremiah chapter 26, and I'm reading from verse 2 here, the imperative, the commandment. In chapter 26, verse 2, it says, thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee. You see that? Speak the word, every word, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them. Diminish not a word. Diminish not a word. Acts of the Apostles chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. As the Almighty God is commanding us to speak, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself has commanded us to speak, even the angels come from heaven and he tells the apostles, this is your duty and this is your responsibility. Now you tell me, if God tells you to do something, if that doesn't give you courage, I don't know what will give you courage. If the Almighty God himself said, I put my word in your mouth, I will support you, I will stand by you, I will stay by you, and they will not be able to overcome you, if that doesn't give you faith and confidence and courage and conviction, I don't know what will. If the angels come from heaven and it gets you out of that imprisonment, out of that castle, and then they say, go out and go and speak the word of life unto all the people, if that doesn't give you courage, I don't know what else will give you courage. You know, the Lord has so made it that if he has chosen you, if he has called you, if he has appointed you, if he has anointed you, if he has given the word in your mouth, and then he says, that's the congregation there, go speak to them. He gives you all the support you need, all the encouragement you need, all the grace you need, all the anointing you need. And then he sends messengers from heaven. He says, go tell him, go tell her, speak the word. Courage will come into you. We're looking at Acts chapter 5. Acts of the Apostles chapter 5. And I'm reading from verse 19. Verse 19, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple all the words of this life, all not just the sweet part, only the promises, declare unto them all the words of this life. I pray that the Lord will strengthen you to do the same every time you have the opportunity, in Jesus' name. We'll come to point number two. We're coming to the courage to speak God's infallible word. We're coming to Titus chapter 2. And I'm reading here from verse 1. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. It says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Now, what demands courage here? Because we're talking about courage. The courage to speak God's infallible word. Don't you see that word, but? Because come to this chapter 1 again of Titus, in verse 10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. If you know anything about those Jewish people at that time, the circumcision, that exalted circumcision above the gospel, above the good news that Jesus died on the cross and that his death is sufficient. The blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin, that blood is sufficient to take our sins away. And these Judaizers will come, and these circumcision people will come. They'll say, no, you must still keep the law of Moses. And those people were violent people. When they got angry, they will throw doors in the air, and then they will remove their clothes. They are ready to kill anybody that will say that Jesus is the only way. It demands courage, Titus, to face those unruly talkers and to face those deceivers. That's why it needs courage, and you'll have the courage. I said you'll have the courage. You see, whose mouth must be stopped. How do you stop the mouth of a lion? How do you come near a lion and then bandage the mouth and say, lion, I forbid you to speak? It takes courage. You need the courage of David and the courage of Daniel to be able to stop the mouths of those wild beasts. In fact, it says in verse 12, one of them, even a prophet of their own, said, the Grecians are always liars, evil beings and slow bellies. You see that? That is courage. Look at verse 13. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply. You know, to even stand up now and rebuke a teenager and correct a teenager and put a teenager right, that takes courage, you know. Because, you know, those teenagers, especially if they do not know Christ as their personal Savior, if they do not know the controlling, restraining power of the Spirit of God, all the wild nature inside them will rise up against you. It takes courage to say, hey, my boy, that's not the way. Little girl, that's not the way. Even the people that come to church, you know, sometimes if they do think that this is the way to perdition, and this is the way to eternal lake of fire, this is the way to eternal punishment, to even open your mouth and say, hey, can I speak to you? Can I speak to you? I know that this has become habitual to you. You are thoughtless. You don't think of the consequence of your action. This way is the broad way that leads to destruction. It takes courage, because they will mock you, they will mimic you, they will insult you, they will assault you, they will do anything. That's why if God has called you and has said this is what you do, Titus, you know, is going to take courage to face the fire and face the beating of the drum and face the music. What I mean is to face whatever they're doing, and then to speak thou the things that become, that befeat, that propagate, that support, that establish sound doctrine. Not only that, come to chapter 2. In chapter 2, I'm looking at verse 2. It says that the aged may be sober. Titus, talk to the aged. And then in verse 3, that the aged women likewise, Titus talked to those aged women. In verse 4, it says that they may teach the young women, Titus, speak to those young women. And then it says in verse 6, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Those young men, stout, hefty, and they look at you as if there is fire in their eyeballs. Speak to them. It takes courage. Look at verse 9. Exhort servants to be obedient. Those civil servants to you are going to talk to them. And when you think about the responsibility of Titus and all the various kinds of people he was to speak to, he took courage. That's what we're talking about. Courage to speak God's infallible word. Let me remind you once again. Don't say, I am not courageous. Don't say, I am not bold. I want to ask you, what makes a person bold? Have you ever thought about that? Look at a mother. A mother is going on the way with a little child, her own child. And that child went in front of her. And a vehicle, a car is coming. And that mother rushes ahead, not caring, being knocked down by the car, by the vehicle, and snatches that child out of the jaws of death. What makes that mother to have that kind of boldness to rush like that, move like that, and rescue that child? Love. It is love that makes a person like that to rush ahead and endanger her life. What makes that mother to put so much value on that child that this child must not die? Whatever it will take, I'm going to rescue that child. What puts that in the heart of the mother? Faith. Faith that this child will become somebody. This child will be somebody in the future. Because of that, I'm not going to allow this car to run this child down. What makes that mother to have that kind of courage? Number one, love. Number two, faith. Number three, hope. The hope, the expectation that mother has. And she's been dreaming about it, thinking about it, singing about it, that this child, I believe, I hope, I expect in the future, will be like this. That's what gives the mother the courage. You know what gives us courage? Love. Number one, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And you love your neighbor as yourself. Do you remember David? David said in 1 Samuel chapter 17, in verse 26, he said, these Philistines defied the armies of the living God. He repeated that again in verse 36, because this Philistine Goliath, he defied the armies of the living God. He comes to verse 45 and he mentions that again, you have defied the armies of the living God. Comes to verse 46 and he says, you defied the armies of the living God because of his love for God. That's why the courage came in his heart. He said, I'll take him on. I'll destroy him. He defied the Almighty God, the one that I serve, the God who created the whole universe. When you have the love for God, and you know that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life, that love for God will drive you. You will want to do anything. You're not thinking about, do I have courage, don't I have courage? When you think about your courage, if you're too self-conscious, you'll not be able to have demonstrate courage. But when you are not self-conscious, you just want to defend the glory of God. You just love God. And Christ, who loved you, and he gave himself for you, it is that love of Christ that propels you, that compels you, that drives you. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm reading here from verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're reading from verse 14. You know, there are some people, my problem is they insulted me. I try to preach the word, emphasize the word, declare the word. I try to do what Christ told me to do, but they insulted me. You're too self-conscious. You know what love does? Love gives you self-forgetfulness. You forget yourself. You forget yourself. We're talking about the mother and a child. Have you noticed when a young man is in courtship with a young lady? And that young lady is, about to get into danger. that young man will forget himself and rush out there to snatch that lady out of that trouble. Love is as strong as death, stronger even than death. Will not care. There's a self-forgetfulness. If you're always conscious about yourself, what they say about me, what they think about me, what they do to me, you don't have love. When you have love, you forget yourself because of that object of love. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ compels us. The love of Christ propels us. The love of Christ puts pressure on us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. It's like Paul the Apostle. When you love the Lord, you forget yourself, you forget your comfort, you forget your very life. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 20, Acts of the Apostles chapter 20, and I'm reading here from verse 24. Acts of the Apostles chapter 20 verse 24, but none of these things move me. What does he mean by that? Come back to verse 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, except that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. And there are people who don't have the love of God. All they talk about, you know, there's danger, you know, there are difficulties, you know, the problems of, you know, nowadays, you know, the people you see, you want them to get saved. Those are dangerous people. Those are terrible people. And so are thinking that you want them to be saved. They don't want to be saved. They all just want to enjoy your life. All they want to do is to destroy you. And then you want to help some backsliders. They knew the Lord before, and now you want to bring them back. Not just bring them back to the church, bring them back to righteousness, and bring them back to the Redeemer. Bring them back to their first love. And then the people tell you, I tried to talk to that man, I tried to talk to that backsliding lady, and I'm telling you, I never heard such abuse and such insult and such curses from anybody's mouth before. That woman has gone very far. And because of that, protect yourself. If you don't want to hurt yourself, you don't want to be sorrowful, don't go to her. But you know, Paul the Apostle said, I hear all that, I see all that, they tell me all that, but love has this attribute of self-forgetfulness. When you forget yourself, and then you're willing to do what the Lord has sent you to do, you'll be courageous. Verse 24 now, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord, Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. What gives us courage? Love. What gives us courage? Faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, I'm reading from verse 27. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. That's courage. To look at Pharaoh with his eyes bulging out, or flames of Egyptian fire coming out of those eyes, and with words that never man spoke, the time you see my face again, you will die. To hear all that and see all that and still go ahead to declare the word of the Lord, that takes courage. But what brought the courage? Number one, love. Love for the children of Israel, that they will not be in captivity forever and ever. They will go to the land of promise that the Lord has provided for his people. Number two, faith. Look at that. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. When you see more of God than the unbelievers, you see more of God than you see Pharaoh, You see more of God than you see Nebuchadnezzar. You see more of God than you see Herod. You see more of God than you see those injurious people, murderers. If you see more of God, there'll be faith in you, there'll be courage. That's what gave them the courage and the self-forgetfulness. That's what the Lord is calling us to. And the people who had gone before us, they had courage. Let me read to you again, Jeremiah. We're coming back to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, and I'm reading from verse 17. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 17, I'm just reminding you, we read this before. It says, "Thou therefore gird up thy loins." That means put on your belt, tighten your belt. Don't allow your life to be flabby. And don't allow this one garment flowing here, flowing there, as if you are going for a social function. Be a soldier. In your mind, in your heart, in your will, in your outlook. Gather up your loins, arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made you, when? Tell me out loud. You know, you may not feel it, but it's there. And if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. You know, courage will flow into you. Power will flow into you. You know, many things we are not conscious of, but it's there. Your brain, you are not conscious of your brain, but your brain is there. The knowledge you have, you're not conscious of that. But if I asked you now, John chapter 3, 16, something will just come out. For God so loved the world. It's there, but you'll not feel it's there. And then if I say, faith cometh by, you didn't know it was, you are not conscious, but all of a sudden when I begin it, you say, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Because those things are there, but when the time comes, it will come out. Amen. Courage is there. Power is there. Anointing is there. While you are sitting down, crossing your leg and folding your hand, you'll not know you have anything, but rise up. And begin to speak, you have courage. Amen. You have love. Amen. You have faith. And that faith will work in your life in Jesus' name. Amen. See the promise of God. It says, for behold, I have made thee this day a defense city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the house, against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail. They will only hurt themselves. They will not hurt you. You finish that assignment, you go to another assignment. You finish that, you go to another one. Because even though they fight, they will not prevail. Why? For I am with thee, says the Lord, to deliver thee. I am delivered. I said, I am delivered. You are delivered in Jesus' name. Acts of the Apostles, I'm reading from chapter 4. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4. And here we're looking at what the Lord is saying and what the people of God, what they also demonstrated. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4. And I'm reading from verse 17. Acts chapter 4, verse 17. In verse 17 it says, but that is spread no further among the people, let us strictly command, threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. You know what they said? They said, yes, when a great miracle has taken place, this man was born in that condition, lame, paralyzed, impotent, and the name of Jesus raised him up. That we cannot deny. But we don't want it to spread. Think about this now. Hold on. The gospel was preached and emphasized in Jerusalem. That's the place where this thing took place at that time. It was within the confines of the nation, Israel. It had not gone to Europe. It had not gone to West Africa. It has not come to any part of Africa here. It was just over there in Jerusalem. And they said, we're going to command them that this word will not go beyond this environment and spread everywhere. If those people had been cowards, you would never have been saved. But today you are saved because those people that they threatened, they said, we're not going to listen to their threatening. Whatever they will do, however they will act, even if they will kill, we're going to speak the word. That's the boldness, that's the courage that made the gospel to spread beyond Jerusalem, that brought the gospel to you today. Now, the gospel is with you. If this great commission dies at your doorstep because of being afraid, self-protection, I need to cover up myself very well, I don't want to go into any dangerous area, the people are threatening, and because of their threats, I'm not going to do anything. Well, the other people that ought to be saved, they will not be saved. Others came to you, you got saved. You won't get to others for them to get saved because you are too self-conscious. The Lord is saying, look at what these people did that now brought the gospel to you. Look at this night, verse 18. And he called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. But I love this. I pray this will be like you, or you will be like this. For we cannot but speak the things which we have heard, which we have seen and heard. They said, you look into that. Not to speak, not to declare the word of God. You look into that. But as for us, we are going to preach the word. You preach the word in Jesus' name. We're looking at Acts of the Apostles chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, I'm reading from verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews and so spake. And so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. Look at verse 2. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil, affected against the brethren, against the preachers, against the apostles, against these people that were declaring the word of life. Look at verse 3. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord. What does that mean? Persecution came. You know, before that persecution came, as many people turned to the Lord, Paul the apostle and the other preachers said, okay, we'll finish here and then go that other way. Then persecution rose up. The apostle said, that's right. Because of that persecution, because of that opposition, because of that assault, and because of the threatening of these Jews, we're even going to stay longer than we wanted to stay before. That's what it means. Look at it now. Look at it from verse 2. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil, affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. That means that instead of the threatening, cutting the ministry short, they said, we're going to stay here. We're going to do it more. When you have that attitude, that's courage. When you say, if there were no persecution, we would have rounded up and then gone back home. If there were no opposition, we would have rounded up and, you know, stopped everything. We would have said, that's enough, you carry on. But now, because of that opposition, because of that persecution, we're going to even stay longer at it. That's courage. I pray God will give you that courage. We come to point number 3 now, the consequence of speaking God's irresistible word. Come to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And we're looking at verse 1. Titus chapter 2. And we're reading from verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That word sound. What does that mean? Sound. Well, it says sound doctrine. I'm sure you know that the word sound there qualifies the doctrine. That's an adjective. It's not like sound, which is a noun, which you hear from your with your ear. But this one is sound doctrine, sound counsel, sound advice. That's a sound idea. That means that what sound is wholesome. It means it's healthy. It means it's good. It's free from any flaw. It's free from any defect. It's free from decay. It's free from error. It's free from fallacy. Sound doctrine. And you have the use of that word sound in various ways as adjective. Come to 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 7. Sound. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, wholesome, good, strong, solid, steadfast, a sound mind. I want you to come to Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 8. In Proverbs chapter 8, we're reading from verse 14. Proverbs chapter 8, we're looking at verse 14. In verse 14 it says, verse 14, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. The wisdom that does not have any defect, that does not have any decay, any flaw, any error. Sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Look at Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, I'm reading from verse 30. 14, verse 30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. A wholesome heart, a good heart, a healthy heart. Heart with no disease. Heart with no defect at all. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. Let's come to 2 Timothy. Chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm reading here from verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I'm reading from verse 13. It says in verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words. Sound words, healthy, wholesome, good, scriptural, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And it tells us in Titus chapter 2 verse 8, Titus chapter 2 verse 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned. Sound speech, healthy, wholesome, sanctifying, edifying, purifying, helpful, profitable. That's what it means. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's the word again, sound. It means wholesome, good doctrine, sanctifying doctrine, edifying doctrine. Heavenly doctrine, supernatural doctrine. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own laws shall heed to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. You see what Paul the apostle was instructing Titus to have was this sound doctrine, the doctrine that saves, the doctrine that sanctifies, the doctrine that makes a person steadfast, stable, solid, having backbone, not shaking and not moving here and there by the wind. A kind of doctrine that is so wholesome that when you take it, it's like you take God's pill, gospel. And that God's pill strengthens you, energizes you, and gives you boldness so that you'll be able to endure whatever comes your way. And that's what the Lord is passing on to us. When you teach sound doctrine, when you preach sound doctrine, when you converse with people, interact with people, ordinary conversation, sound doctrine. When you relate with people, sound doctrine. When you behave, when you live your life, you live that life on the basis of sound doctrine. That is what will silence the mouth of those vain talkers. The commandment given to Titus was purposeful and profitable. Good things happen when we speak God's inspired word. Good things happen when we proclaim God's infallible word. Good things happen when we declare God's incorruptible word. Good things happen when we emphasize God's irresistible, inerrant word. Sinners are converted. Sinners are convicted and awakened to repentance, and they are converted. Backsliders are restored. Babes in Christ are fed and nurtured. Faith is made active in the heart. When you speak the word, this word that's infallible, this word that is irresistible, when you speak that word, the sick are healed, the afflicted and the oppressed are delivered, and they're set free. Christians grow in knowledge and grace. Hope becomes lively and love becomes active. Error is exposed and truth is brought to light. Christians are renewed and the church is revived. The Holy Spirit, through the knowledge of the truth, produces his fruit in believers and also imparts power. That's the reason the Lord is calling upon you and calling upon everyone, saying, speak thou the things which belong to sound doctrine, which befit sound doctrine. Speak, preach the word. Hold not thy peace, speak. Let nothing silence you, speak. Let no sin, let no evil muzzle your mouth because of guilt, because of condemnation, speak. And let no one muzzle your mouth, speak. Let no face, terrifying face, intimidating face, intimidating stature of anyone, frightening posture of anyone, let nothing silence you, speak. Let nothing destroy your boldness. If you allow sin, temptation, evil to come into you, you'll be weakened. But the righteous is as bold as a lion. Let your conscience be pure. Let not your conscience reproach you. Speak. Let not sinners intimidate you, whoever they are, whatever they are, whatever they say, and whatever kind of poison they're spewing out. Let no sinner, let no backslider intimidate you. Speak. Look not for another place to speak. This is the place, speak. And look not for another time, speak. Start where you are. Stand firm and preach without fear and without compromise. Speak. Speak and let the earth hear. Will you? I said, will you? Do you have the backbone to do that? Do you have the courage to do that? Do you have the conviction to do that? You will. I said, you will. What are you? You will speak. Rise up and tell the Lord. He'll give you all the courage you need. He'll give you all the unction you need, all the power you need, all the assistance you need, all the grace you need. Speak thou. The things would become sound doctrine. You must be saved to get others saved. You must love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. To be courageous, love gives courage. Faith gives courage. Self-forgetfulness gives courage. When you don't care what people think about you, you don't care what people do to you, you don't care what people say about you, you don't care what people take away from you, you don't care what name or whatever stigma people may label you with, you don't care what they think, you'll stand up in the bus and you'll speak. You'll stand up in your community and you will speak. You want to rescue the perishing, save the people that are dying, those who are lost. You're not looking for their commendation. You're not looking for anything reward from them. All you want is that you want them saved. All you want is that you want those believers steadfast in the Lord. Insult matters not to you. Assault does not mean anything to you. Their rebellion means nothing to you. Their rejection, the pain they may cause you or give you, means nothing to you. Love, faith, hope, self-forgetfulness brings courage. Speak thou in your house, on the street, in the office, on the pulpit, to the people God brings across your way. Speak thou. The things will become sound doctrine.